Well, good morning. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open to Luke chapter 1, as not only are we celebrating Mother's Day today, but today is also baby dedication, which we have not gotten to do in a couple of years. So we're very excited about that. And as I was thinking about this service, started thinking about what an incredibly countercultural thing we're actually doing today. We're living in a time when God's plan for the family, the value of children, gender distinctiveness is all not only under attack, but being rejected and denied. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate the unique calling of motherhood as well as the blessings of children. And we just so happen to do it in a week where we find out that the Supreme Court seems poised to overturn Roe. And while at the same time, pro-abortion protesters are protesting Catholic churches for being pro-life. You know, sometimes we want to make Christianity, we think it's hard or it seems harder than it is. Listen, love God, have a family, raise children, and that's about as countercultural as you can be. And today we want to celebrate that as we come to God's word and we're reminded that regardless, and we are thankful for the Supreme Court and what seems to be the direction they're going, but God's word has affirmed that truth for centuries. And so we will affirm it today as we encourage parents, as we give God thanks for children, and we ask for his wisdom from his word. I want to read Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 this morning, as it'll be our primary text here, and then we'll pray together. You follow along as I read from God's word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we come before you, and we are so thankful for your word that gives us direction and gives us wisdom, and gives us truth. We are thankful for the value that your word places on the family, on how your word exalts and lifts up the calling of motherhood. And Father, your word tells us over and over that children are a blessing from you. Father, I pray that we as individual Christians, but Father, we as Trinity Baptist Church would uphold your word in these areas, live it out and model it. Father, that you would give us courage in these convictions. So Father, this morning as we not only study your word together, but Father, as we have a time to dedicate and encourage these families with their children, we pray that it would be a time that would honor you, that would speak of what you've done for us in Christ. And Father, that it would speak and it would demonstrate and show to the world a different way. So Lord, we ask you to be with us today. We are so thankful not only for what we are getting to do by worshiping together, but Father, what you've done for us in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray today. Amen. This morning, I want to show you three things. And so I just give you a quick heads up. Today is a shorter message. It is not a preview of the rest of the summer, right? We packed a lot into today, and so if you leave spoiled, I can't do anything about it. But today we want to show you three things from this passage as we look at some encouraging wisdom from God's word on parenting. And the first one is that we see as Mary sings this song of praise, we see that we need the right foundations. It's really interesting when we think about what's happening here. The context of Mary singing this, and she just provides for us such a rich example of parenting. But what we see happening here is that so far in Luke, John the Baptist has been predicted. His birth has been predicted. The birth and the coming of Christ has been predicted. Mary has gone and she's traveled to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth encourages and blesses Mary. And as they converse and as they think about these things, Mary breaks into this song of praise. It's often called the Magnificat. In these few verses, here's what happens. Mary actually quotes the Old Testament 12 times specifically. And there's many more allusions to the Old Testament in this as she praises God. What we find is that as Mary is understanding and coming to grips with this incredible revelation that she's been given, that she is going to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, we find a young girl who begins to think about God's word and how this fits in with God's plan. This prayer is an almost an exact model of the prayer that Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There's four things that we see as she begins this prayer, these foundations, and I want to show them to you as we walk through this very quickly. The first is notice Mary's thanksgiving in verses 46 through 48. She says that her soul magnifies or makes much of the Lord. She is rejoicing. Mary has a good understanding of what we would understand as an anthropology, a good understanding of humanity. She says he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. She realized that she was not worthy of the gift that she had been given. It's a recognition of the mightiness of God, as we'll see in just a moment as well. As you go through this passage, I just encourage you to think about this. I feel like, I don't know what our portrayal of Mary is sometimes. Sometimes it seems that we think of her, especially during the Christmas season when she gets more attention, and rightly so, that we picture her as this really young girl, and this was just kind of sprung on her, and she's very young, and you know, she's just not prepared for the moment, which who could be? But what we find during the Magnificat is this. We find a young woman, and while she may be unprepared in one sense, this is a heart that knows God's word. This is a heart that has God's word coming out of her, that just as she begins to think, she begins to go into thanksgiving. The next thing that we see in verses 49 through 50 is an emphasis on who God is, on his attributes. She knows God well. She knows and recognizes that he is mighty. She references his holiness as his name, that he is merciful, and that he is strong. When we think of parenting, I think one of the hardest things that we do sometimes is to not parent in our own strength, but that our parenting looks uniquely Christian. And that's hard. There's lots of good wisdom, and there's lots of good parenting tips, but if we do them apart from who God is and from what God has done for us in Christ, then we just have good tips. And when we have that, we parent kind of in a worldly way, even though it might be better than some that we can think of. Before Jesus is even born, before Mary even conceives of this child, she is just in the initial process of finding it out and visiting with her sister or her cousin. She then begins to go and think about what God has done and who God is and how that's going to affect everything else. For us as parents, my encouragement to you this morning is, listen, we try to parent in our own strength, forgetting what God's already done for us, we'll be disheartened. If we try to do it in our own strength, we will fail and always feel like we're failing. Mary gives us an example here, and it's rooted in the scripture. So call her a young girl, call her all these things, but she knew her Bible, and her parenting before she even gave birth to a child started in God's word. That's a foundation that we need. Notice that not only was she thankful, not only did she recognize who God was, But notice the trust in God's work in verses 52 through 53. As he's brought down the mighty, he's exalted those, he's filled the hungry, he's done this with the rich, he's done all these things. It's a recognition of God's power and that he's in control. And when we have those two acknowledgments in our life, we now have a basis for trust. Trusting God, is it not one of the hardest things as we parent children? So, okay, good. Maren's helping with extended session. So I just had a 16-year-old pass a driver's test. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know. But I tell you what, you know, you start to learn trust really quick when you realize that those driver's ed cars have another brake in them, right? Trusting God in our parenting is one of the hardest things. Giving our kids enough rope to make mistakes and leaving them to God is really hard. Your trust has to have a basis and an anchor on something. And all too often what we do as moms and dads is that anchor becomes us. We trust in us. And what we see going on in Mary's life here as she walked through this, she's remembering the acts of God throughout the history with his people. She remembers that his mercy has been not just something once in a while or a short-term deal, but she says your mercy is from generation to generation. In other words, God has always been faithful. She remembers that he is strong, that he has taken care of the proud, that he has done this to exalted the humble. In other words, that God's word is true. He does what he says he will do. And that has to be true even in our parenting. The fourth thing that we see in this foundation is that Mary remembers. This is going to be a principle that we see lived out in her life. Look at verses 54 and 55. It's not just with her immediately, right? It's just not her immediate situation, but Mary remembers how God has been faithful, not just to her, but to his people. Sometimes as we walk through life and you're walking through a situation, sometimes it's with your kids, sometimes it's other family members, sometimes it's just the circumstances of life, but God's past faithfulness is all you have to hang on to. All the circumstances that are happening around us seem hopeless. There doesn't seem like there's any way out. There doesn't seem like there's a solution. There doesn't seem like there's a right way. None of that is there. And yet all that we as believers have that we can hang on to is that God has always been faithful. And so we have to remember. It's why the scriptures, and we see this happening all throughout the New Testament, over and over, the calls on God's people about being reminded of who God is and what he's done. It's the call about remembering, right? That's not just practical advice. It's a spiritual discipline that we're called to remember God's faithfulness and that he's been good to us and that he delivers his people, because we will walk through those things where it seems like we're all alone. So here in the, you know, this was really good news that Mary received. It was also really hard news. It was also really incomprehensible news. And where does she go? She goes to the foundations of God's word. She remembers all the things that she has to be thankful for. She remembers all the things that she knows is true about God. She goes to all the things that he's done to demonstrate that he can be trusted. And she remembers that he has been faithful time and time again. The question that we ask and that we encourage each other with today as Christian moms and dads is, what will our foundation be? Will we remember those things? Will we try to be and discipline ourselves to be thankful even for the difficult times? Do we rest in who God is and what he's done? Do we commit ourselves to trusting in him and not our own way? And when it gets really hard, will we remember his past faithfulness as a way to help us move forward? So not only did Mary have the right foundation of being God, of God's word, but notice that she also had the right perspective. And I want you to turn in your Bible over a page. We're gonna look at a couple of verses here in chapter 2. Look at verse 19. I just find these verses to be really interesting. And not only interesting that they're in there, but they're also repeated. Look at verse 19. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in our heart. And then turn with me again to chapter 2, verse 51. And he, referring to Jesus, went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. In verse 19, this idea is that Mary meditated. She meditated, or she thought deeply on the meaning of it all. In verse 51, it kind of carries the idea of a deep inward reflection. I don't know, too, like, it's interesting that in that verse, it says he went down to them and was submissive to them. She might have just been treasuring that a 12-year-old was submissive to their parents. That might have been all that's involved there. But what it reminds us of, as Mary parented, she wasn't always trying to get to the next moment. Isn't this the temptation that we live in our culture? That there is no contentment in the present, and there's always the next thing. We've got to get ourselves to the next thing. We got to get our kids to the next step. And what we see happening in Mary, this perspective that she had, was the idea of being present, of enjoying the moment. We talk about this often with young parents when they have young children or first children, and they just don't think that they'll ever sleep again. Or if they have to change one more diaper. And then some seasoned parent will come and just in a really encouraging way say something like, well, this is as easy as it ever gets. Yeah. Right? But it's true, isn't it? The older your kids get, you're like, man, I can handle not sleeping and I can handle changing diapers. But there's a lot of this other stuff I never thought we'd have to deal with. Be present in the moment. What does this look like in application? Let me give you three or four things here. It's a reminder to not be in a hurry. I think for most of us, as we think about our kids and how they're growing up, we think back and we're like, how did we get here? It's so fast. And there's nothing kids hate more than hearing how fast it's going, right? Because for them, it's not fast enough, right? But for us as parents, to not be in a hurry, to enjoy even the small moments. Don't look ahead all the time. We have to plan. There's nothing wrong with planning. But they're only going to be 6 and 8 and 12 and 14 once. Right? Another way that I think this applies is don't long for something different. These are the kids that God has given us. He's made them and fashioned them in the womb in his own way and in their own uniqueness with the gifts and personalities and all the things that come with that they have. Let them be them. Finally, we need the right foundation. We need the right perspective. But we also need the right goals in our parenting. Look at verse 40, chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now look down in verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It's interesting, again, that these would be repeated in such close proximity to one another. This idea of balance, this idea of emphasizing the spiritual and the eternal, the idea of growth and maturity. We have to be careful here a little bit, I think, in that when we think of Christian parenting, when we think of the expectations that we have on our kids, that we understand the priority and the hierarchy that God's word gives to this. I think something that we often really underestimate is how good at discipleship the world is of all of us, including our kids. The question is not whether you and I and our children are being discipled. That's happening nonstop all the time. The question is, by whom? And what we see here as the scripture records this of Jesus is growing up, and this is just, I if you're sitting there going, but Jesus was different. I know. I mean, I don't know any other way around this. And Mary's parenting would have, I mean, can you imagine her being grateful that the Son of God was obedient? I mean, we're like, well, of course he was, right? But how all that dynamic played out, I don't know. It is mysterious. But what we know is that he was fully God and fully man. And when he came as fully man, that meant coming as a baby. And that meant growth and maturity and learning and everything, just like you and I face. And the scripture emphasizes that he increased in his wisdom. He increased in his stature. The idea behind stature is the word maturity. That he grew in his favor with God and with man. And what this seems to be indicating is that there was a heavy emphasis on putting before our kids the things that were eternal over the things that were going to pass just like that. Now, anytime you say this, right, everyone's like, well, that's right. That's exactly what we need to do with our kids. And then we just oftentimes pass down little idols to them. And we set the stage for them not to value the things that the scripture seems to value. And I think we have to be very careful here. Is it wrong for kids to be involved in things? Absolutely not. Do they need to grow in these areas and learn all the lessons of being an athlete, of being in music and doing all that? Of course. But if they're being encouraged in those things and the commitment level is raised up here for those things and they can miss church and they can miss being discipled just like that, then it really doesn't matter what we're telling them. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Our first priority is to teach them Christ. It is to help them mature and to grow and find that favor and be in that right relationship with God to the best that we can. We see this incredible outflow of high school students when they graduate, not staying in church after they leave, after they graduate from high school. Can I just share with you that after working with students for a long time, here's what I think is actually going on there. They're not leaving when they graduate. They've been gone a long time. And they've been gone a long time because what was demonstrated either through peer groups or friends or maybe even the home is that these 25 things were more important than spending time with God and being at church. Listen, moms and dads, show them Jesus. Give them Christ. Let that be the center of home, and everything else is important and fine and good, but it doesn't come close to being the priority of our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning that you love us, that Father, when we think about parenting and we think about raising children, when we think about, Father, being parented and the students and people that we have in the room right now, Father, that it all comes back to Christ. It all comes back to him, and it all comes back to your word. So, Father, I pray this morning that you would help us, that our foundation would be anchored in who you are and in your word. Father, that we would be thankful and we would be present, that we would be rooted in the scripture as our foundation. And, Father, I pray for myself and for all of us who are in this situation, would you help us have the right goals? That we would honor you and we would demonstrate and live out Christ to the very best that we can. And Father, I pray again for us as a church that this would be a place that's known that values family, that values the importance of the home, and the value of children. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Pray that you would use this to encourage us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we've shifted into baby dedication time, so this is going to be very exciting, and this will be very good. We're looking forward to this. And so what we're going to do, we're going to call the families up, and when I call your name, come on up, and then we have a gift for you, and I'll read, or some of you will share. And then once we go through all the kids, we're going to have a time of prayer just down here at the front for them. And so we are very excited to do this. So Larry and Jennifer, you guys come on up. Yeah, Noah, you can come too. It's fine. All right, so this is Noah Oluwafemi John Ebun. I've been stressing over that all weekend. Noah is the one-year-old son of Larry and Jennifer. So Larry and Jennifer narrowed Noah's name choice down to Noah and Ezra. By the way, Noah Ezra would have been easier than the other one. So not sure which name to go with, Larry gave Jen the ultimate decision to choose one of the two choices. As the time of delivery came close, Larry realized he couldn't put that much weight on Jen. And what if she chose and he ended up not liking the choice? He turned to her and said, if it's a boy, Noah, if it's a girl, Grace. So Noah is his name. His middle name is translated as God loves me, which was taken from John 21:20, in which John said, and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is why they hyphenated the Yoruba version with John. Larry and Jennifer pray that Noah will become a useful vessel for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they would also like to thank you all for the kindness you've shown to their family. And we're so excited to get to do this today because we're losing these guys pretty quickly. How soon? May 31st. They're moving to Marlow. So we're hoping something works out to where they can't do that. But we are very glad that we got to dedicate Noah today. All right, Dean and Mary, you guys come on up. This is Andrew Russell Long. Andrew is the son of Dean and Mary, and he is 6 months old. Andrew is Mary's favorite baby boy name, but it took having three boys before Dean gave in and let her use it. Andrew is a Greek name meaning strong and courageous. His middle name is Russell, named after his great-grandpa, Russell Long. Dean and Mary pray that Andrew will decide to follow Christ at a young age and grow into a godly man devoted to Christ. The verse they chose is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There you go, guys. All right, we're going to, Eric Chi is next. Y'all come on up. So this is Eric. He is the four-year-old son of Yu Xuan Chi and Mandy John, and they are part of our Chinese ministry, which we're so glad to be able to have today be a part of our dedication as they dedicate little Eric to the Lord. And so we are so thankful for that, and we want to give you this Bible for Eric. There you go. There you go. Yeah? All right, buddy. Thank you. Jels, you guys are up. Come on up, Luke and Ricky. So this is Joseph Gary Rigel. He's the one-year-old son of Luke and Ricky, and I believe Luke's going to share.
Through 31, have you not known, have you not heard, The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. Bible for you guys. Thank you all very much. Right, Worleys. Our next baby is Avery Gwendolyn. Avery is the 7-month-old daughter of Chris and Valerie Worley. Chris and Valerie chose Gwendolyn because it is Valerie's great-grandmother's name, and it is spelled with two N's because Lynn is Chris's mom's middle name. Their prayer for Avery is that she would grow to love the Lord, and that is our prayer too. For baby Gwendolyn. Thank you, guys. Right, come on, guys. So this is Noah Young, and he is the 7-month-old son of Leon Young and Shu Chi Han. And Noah is named after Noah in the Bible because he was righteous and a faithful man of God. And the verse that Leon and Shu have chosen for Noah is Lamentations 3:23, which says, "Great is his faithfulness, his mercies begin afresh each morning." Congratulations, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to see you. We'd like to spend a few minutes this morning praying for our families. And so, Kara, are they going to come back in here? Okay. They're going to come around, come down front. And if you know any, if you are friends with them or know them well or work with them or serve with them, we'd love for you to come down and join them and just gather around them as we pray. I'm going to ask Larry Toothaker, and is Max, if Max is here, if you guys would come as well and just pray for these families and for these kids. When we do baby dedication, we call it that, but it's really a parent, it's really a family dedication, as they're saying and committing to us in front of their church family, we're going to try our best to raise our family and these kids according to the ways of the Lord. And so that's what we want to pray and encourage with them. So you come down front with them and gather down, and Max and Larry will lead us in a time of prayer, and then I'll close us here in just a moment as we pray for these dear families.
Father, we are grateful for these families. We are thankful to be a part of a church where we honor the things that you honor. You said from the very beginning that you created us male and female, and for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And you said, be fruitful and multiply. And Father, we know that children are a gift of the Lord. And we pray for these parents to know how to raise them, that we as a congregation can be helpful. Father, we pray that from this church, you'll raise up children who will become mighty men and women of God. And Father, we are so grateful for what you've done and for these parents. And Father, give them wisdom. Give them endurance. Help them to see that their sacrifice is what you did for us and they do for their children, that those children might grow up to honor you. And God, we're so thankful for them.
Lord God, we do thank you for each child that's here, each set of parents. Thank you for the grandparents, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, the heritage that has been passed down to these parents and now to these kids. And Father, I just pray for the parents at each stage where they are now and every step into the future, that they would look to you, the parents would look to you to give them guidance and wisdom, and that they would constantly be relying upon your word and trusting in you as to how to raise their children. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, Lord, we are grateful today for this time to just really focus on this, on these families, on the role that you've called us to in parenting. And Father, we pray for them, Lord, for everything that they will walk through, the good, the bad, all of it, Father, that they would look to you. And like Max prayed, Father, we do pray that their wisdom would come from you, that they would trust you. And Father, that you would do a work in each and every one of these children's heart to show yourself to them, to draw them to you, that they would believe and walk with you. Lord, I pray for our church that we would come alongside and minister well to these families and to these children. Lord, we're so grateful for all that you do for us, but that you've given us a church of all ages and especially these young ones. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do.